This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Rose. I'm Eddie, the producer. I never get to talk, but this week I get to do the intro because Blake and Eric are stuck in the Dallas airport, still trying to get home from Austin from Blake's DJ gig over the weekend. So fingers crossed, prayers up that they get safely back to Denver. This week, it's country group Restless Road. You may remember them from season 3 of The X Factor, where they finished 4th, and more importantly, met fellow contestant Kane Brown. They've written songs for Granger Smith and Rascal Flatts, and they are the first artists signed to Kane Brown's new record label, 1021 Entertainment. Their new song, Took One Look at Her Mama, is available now wherever you get your music.
I took one look at her mama.
Oh, and they're funny guys. Listen all the way to the end for the trick they played on Blake and Eric. Here's Zach, Garrett, and Colton, Restless Road, Behind the Rose.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thanks for having us, man.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Last time I saw you all together was...
Jersey.
It was Atlantic City.
Yeah,
February.
Atlantic City. One of the craziest nights of my life. I think I was in an alternate universe that night.
That was a good
we're
time.
Not, you know, we're from small towns and stuff in the country. We're not used to the club scene in Atlantic City was like, I mean, for us at least, it was like another realm.
That was fun. Yeah, no, because we met you guys backstage at Kane Brown right before I went and played at Borgata in Atlantic City. And you guys came out to the show afterwards, and that was fun. Yeah.
It was
awesome.
We were
tossing roses left.
There was roses.
Right?
Yeah, we just tossed out the roses. Just a day in the life of Blake. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good time. And then actually, when were we out there recently with Silver? And
we were in Nashville. We ran into Zach,
yeah,
right?
In Barcelona. Yeah, Barcelona.
Oh,
yeah. Right?
Yeah, I was actually there too. And I was at the table and I didn't get to see you. I think you were walking out and you had seen Zach, and then I missed you.
But. It's funny because I feel like you guys were just hitting like, God, you guys are about to just get crazy. Like you were touring with Kane basically. Yep. And then fucking COVID, man. Fucking quarantine hit.
Yeah, it's like both you and Blake almost have this most identical stories because you guys dropped your EP at the end of February, if I remember last year. When we met you, that was the opening night of the Kane tour. Night.
Right.
Blake's first night DJing, and he earned a residency off of that. Mm-hmm. And then fucking 2 weeks later, COVID hits.
Wait, yeah, so man. The first night, when we were there, that was your first night doing that?
That was like my first night ever at a Giants premiere Borgata club.
That's
like that.
Sick. Yeah. Okay, cool.
We earned a residency off of that.
Wow.
But it's like, dope. But then both your guys' stories just stopped.
Yeah. You guys have been in the game a little longer than me. Like I said, you guys have been fighting to the top for a while though, which is pretty awesome. Man.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We've been a band now for 8 years and you kind of learn over those 8 years, this kind of how it goes. You know, there's always setbacks and I mean, we'll get past this for sure and things will get back to be kicking. But you know what? No matter what happens, even 10, 20 years from now, there'll be more setbacks too. You just got to you got to roll with it, baby. You got to keep going,
man. And that's the exact mind frame to have because otherwise, if you start getting down on yourself and like, this is never going to happen, it won't happen. So you guys have the right mind frame for sure. But I want to get into that. So I knew you guys because my sister knew you guys through TikTok and all, and your new music. She was like freaked out when you guys walked into Borgata down in Atlantic City.
Oh,
it was
awesome.
Pretty funny to see. Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't realize you guys had been a band for so long and that basically it started. I mean, Zach and Colton, you guys are on X Factor together, correct?
Right. Yeah. So yeah, Colton and I, we had just graduated high school and we were, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, 18-year-olds. We had this big country music dream and we got on the show and after a few rounds on the show, you know, we started the band together, and actually Kane was a part of that show too, and that's where we met him. And he went on about a year later to become Kane Brown, was on top of the charts. And, you know, we just kept on our own path. And then years down the road, we were able to reconnect with Kane and just really bring things back in a really cool, big way. And y'all got to see the beginnings of that last year.
I would say it was so cool. Yeah. To see, it was like your first, on stage with Kane and everything. That was super cool to see. So what was that X factor like? Like, how did you just apply or did you audition? Like, how did that work out?
Yeah. I mean, it was just like, I feel like any other show. It was you sent in videos or you went and auditioned, had to make it through however many producers. And then once you made it on the show, then, I mean, kind of what you seen was, I mean, how it was, like what most people seen. So
this guy brought his whole town to the audition with him on a school bus.
Hell yeah, that's
there
how
was
you do
70.
It.
I brought 70. Bus, I brought a big bus. We rented out a bus and brought him to New York. And, yeah, it was wild. But, I mean, that was where Zach and I started the band. And we went on to come in fourth place. And that's just kind of where the whole journey started. But it's funny now looking back at it, it was like, that was just such a very, very small portion of this band's like where we're at today. Mm-hmm. Like honestly, it just feels like a little blip at almost at that point in time, because we've done so much since then.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, you all got to start somewhere, so.
Yeah, amen. And then Garrett, you were on American Idol, is that right?
Yeah, so around that same time, I had tried out for that show, didn't make it very far, and I kind of came home, and I was doing, like, Vine and YouTube and all that kind of stuff, and it was actually hilarious. I was finishing up high school. I was, like, had a few months left in my senior year, and I had seen these guys, like, on TV and stuff, so they had DM'd me, like, one night, I think it was, like, 12:30. I was doing math homework, and I got a DM from Restless Road, and it was like, hey, man, like, you would you call us and, like, hang out? And I'm freaking out. I'm like, wow, this is, like, these guys. Like, I've seen them everywhere. Like, this is crazy. And we ended up talking and getting to know each other over a phone call, and they were like, you know, what are you wanting to do with music? Like, we like your covers and yada, yada. So I ended up flying out the next morning with my dad, because I was still 17 at the time. Met these guys and spent about a week with them. And then, you know, a week later they called me and they were like, hey, when can you move in with us? Think we want you to be in the band. And then I kind of just left school and started pursuing the Restless Road. So, and I've been in it since about 2015.
Yeah, 6 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty cool, like, meet cue, if you will. You know, like, you slid into the DMs, man. You guys belly flopped in the DMs.
Yeah, he hit me. You know, it was Zach actually on the account. I think he hit me with a U up, and, you know, that was
very That's awesome, man. That's pretty great. So, have you guys all, like, obviously, I mean, you started so young. Like, music basically been your whole life, right? Is this something you guys have always wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, I started coming to Nashville in 2009, and I was always told, like, hey, this is a 10-year town, and most people don't start really, like, breaking onto the scene. And it was funny, when we signed with Kane and did all that was 2019 was when all this started happening, so it was 10 years when all this started coming up. So, I mean, yeah, I think this is something that, I mean, at least for me, that I've always wanted to do. I've had that dream since, like, early as a kid, but I mean, I really didn't start getting into it until high school, really, probably.
Yeah, and for me, I was always doing, like, musicals and, like, plays and things as a kid, so I was always, like, you know, that kind of born entertainer kind of energy.
I'm just picturing you, like, wearing tights for some reason.
Yeah. I was in Cinderella. Like, I did all this stuff as a young kid.
He does all his own stunts, by the way.
Yeah, I do all my own stunts. I'm trying to do pull a Tom Cruise and everything. But, no, yeah, I mean, from an early age, I always sang and stuff. And I remember I was, like, 12 years old, and my dad, he always wanted to be a rock star. But he always says he had no, like, musical ability. But he brought home a guitar when I was, like, 12, and I really, like, admired that. And so I kind of picked it up and started playing, so it's always kind of been in my life, and I started taking it more serious around the time I joined the band.
I mean, for me, man, I didn't ever think about it until I was about 16, and I just kind of realized that I was really bad at sports, and I didn't know how else I was going to get a girlfriend if I didn't figure something out fast. And I actually saw, you know, one of your guests on the show, Scotty McCreery, was on American Idol at the time, and I just saw him killing it, and we were similar in age, and I just kind of started singing everything he was singing. I got really, really into it, and I ended up, you know, asking this girl out after school. I went to her locker, and I was just like, baby, lock the door and turn the lights. And the rest was history, man. I never looked back.
That would get me, man. Just got me a little hot and bothered.
I've been singing ever since.
My palms just got sweaty.
Dude, I just oh, my God.
I'm surprised Blake still has his shirt on.
Right. Yeah. You get my rose. That's pretty cool. God, I wish I'll forever be angry at my parents. I was like, put me a football in my hand. I wish you would have put a guitar in my hand, you know, because I feel like I was born to do that. I played sports, you know, and it was like, ugh. I wish I could go back, you know?
Well, dude, we'll definitely, like, when we hang next, we'll like get the guitar out. Maybe we'll do a little write. We can get a little song going. Do you write songs at all?
We need to write a song together.
Oh, he did write a song.
I feel like you've definitely got the stories and the life experience. Yeah, like, we could get some really cool songs out of you.
We can write.
Dude, that'd be a blast.
Listen, we can write the theme song, the new theme song for Behind the Road.
We should write a song. Seriously, you can put it in your DJ set. Like, we'll just write.
I was
like,
gonna say
the biggest just like slapper of 2021.
You're
like,
listening to Behind the Rose, dude. We've got
to
do.
Guys, I'm gonna hold you to this.
Oh, we're going to. Like, we will. We're gonna need to come up to Colorado, dude. We need to meet up.
You guys need to make a trip out here for sure, man.
I've never been there, actually. I don't know if y'all really.
Bro. No, I haven't.
Well, you have been there, dude. You went to the. That's where you got detained by the police at the Denver airport.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I have been. Oh my God!
Story time.
Well, okay, I will tell you this.
If you go back 5 years on the TSA's Instagram,
I have a picture that I have, and I'll send it to you guys. I'll send it in a group text, and you'll see it. Yeah. But basically, what happened was, a couple years ago, we were like playing this show in New York for this like Country Music Hall of Fame thing event, and we were flying from Colorado, so we had stopped through. I totally forgot about this, and so we were on this tour for a couple months with like these YouTube acts, whatever. It was back in like 2015, and I had went home.
You go through security, basically.
Yeah, well, no, I had went home, just to preface this, and my dad was getting a new truck. And he had had this like 6-inch like Smith & Wesson like double-sided dagger in his truck. And he was about to get a new truck. And he goes, hey, I found this in my truck for some reason. Do you want this? And I was like, yeah, cool. It seems really awesome. So I put it in my backpack, like not thinking about it. Well, I took this backpack on the road, and we hadn't flown in probably 3, 4, 5 months. And I guess somehow it had just gone to the very bottom. So I'm going through security, put my backpack on, and the thing just lights up. And it's like, wah, wah, wah. And they get on the intercom. They're like, oh. Whoever has the black OGO backpack, please step forward. And I'm like, oh, it's mine. I get swarmed by like all these TSA agents and like three cops. They pull me into this room, like they have me by the arm, and they're looking at me like, what did you do? And I'm like, I don't know. They pull me in the room, and the guy goes, this police officer looks at me, and he goes, all right, son. He's like, I'm gonna give you one chance to tell me what's in here. And I was like, I have no idea. I'm like, I have no clue. And he's like, all right, you sure? I said, all right. He reaches down in there, and it's like under all my clothes, under all my belongings. He just pulls this thing out. It's like a sword. I mean, it's like this
machete,
big.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, and he's like, you're screwed, buddy. And then he goes, and I finally got out of it because they ran my background and were like, you haven't done anything bad. And clean. I was like, my dad gave me this months ago. I didn't know it was in here. I swear I wasn't trying to do anything with it. And they let me go. But it's actually on the TSA Instagram.
Yeah. We went back and
found it. They're like, this kid thought he could get away with this, but we got it.
It's a picture of my ID. It's my picture of my ID from Alabama and this giant, like, dagger, and it says like great pickup from the TSA in the Colorado airport.
Oh my God, you gotta send that to
us.
Oh,
I'll send it. I just saw it in my phone like 2 days ago, so I'll send it to y'all.
That needs to be y'all's lanyards.
Oh my God.
When you guys do a tour.
So yeah, I was almost a little felon, so it was like,
like a next album cover, man.
Yeah. Mugshot.
That's pretty great. And I want to get into too, because you just talked about you guys were like traveling and stuff before with like, you know, doing different things with like YouTube and, you know, all that Vine. Gosh, Vine. That was the shit back in the
day. Oh, dude, that was insane.
I loved Vine, man.
I feel like before we get into that though, we should get into Blake's songwriting ability. We skipped over a big part of this.
Oh yeah,
because he did have a writing session with Wayne Newton, right?
Was it for Wayne?
I did. You wrote Wayne Newton?
How did that go?
I fucking nailed it. You know,
can you pull it out? You still have it, right?
I don't know where it is. I have a picture of it somewhere. Yeah, man, I wrote it to Donka Shane. I wrote it to like the beat of Donka Shane, and I wrote it was like a love. It was on the show. I wrote like a love song to Becca on the show.
Wow. Yeah, we need to hear this.
I'll throw that in the I'll throw that in the group chat.
Yeah, we'll trade. I'll send you my arrest warrant, and then you send us the song.
You send me yours. I'll send you mine.
They always be doing that. There's always like one episode. It's like the write a song or like do a rap episode.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. And then I had to sing it, man. I can't.
And then there's always like the violence charged episode. Like early on, they do like you guys got to fight each other. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like the wrestling or the boxing episode.
We did full contact football. Yeah. Like I broke my pinky. It's still all effed up.
And there's
always that one guy. There's always the one guy that like is so aggressive, like unnecessarily so, and everybody's like, "This guy acts like he's in the NFL right
now." And then there's always the one person who gets hurt, and then they're like, "Well, it worked out. I got more time with it." And then all the other guys are like, "I don't know if it really, really hurt that bad."
Oh, dude, no, you don't understand. Like, we're actually like diehard fans. Like, I know personally,
we don't miss an episode.
I've not missed an episode since Bachelor Ben. Like, that's when I got introduced to the show, and I have watched it every single episode since. Like, I will not miss it. I'm a huge fan.
Hell yeah. Well, we're going to get into that then later. We're going to talk about this season. Hell yeah. I just love that you guys are able to admit it. Some dudes just won't admit it.
I'll tell everybody, and I'm proud to say it. Like, I will go around and tell everybody. I'm like, you gotta
watch. Anybody who says that they don't is probably lying. They're liars.
It's quality.
It's quality television. So I want to get into TikTok and all that fun stuff. We're going to do that right after this. All right, guys. So I have a TikTok, but I don't like... I'll be honest, I don't get on it or anything, but you guys, especially during quarantine, like that's where I've seen you guys, because obviously there's nothing else to do right now in COVID. So how do you guys did you guys just decide like, hey, we're bored, let's have some fun? And because I mean, right now people are blowing up TikTok and then it's shooting. I mean, their music career is going out, you know, through the roof.
Yeah.
So how do you guys get into that?
Yeah, TikTok ended up being a very, you know, serendipitous thing for us. We, tour was just ending and basically we needed a... you know, figure out how to really keep engaging with all these people we just met and we just announced the band and, you know, things were so on fire and we needed to find a way to keep that going. So we started making TikToks and at first, man, nothing was working. Nothing. We probably posted a dozen videos. No one was watching. And then we were writing a song one day and in the middle of the real song we were writing, we all took a break and we wrote this funny drinking song and we ended up calling it the beer song. And I was like, why don't we just, you know, buy a case of beer. Go film this tonight. And we put it up on TikTok. And then the next day, it's got a million views. And that, like, kickstarted everything. And we just started getting a ton of followers. And we started recreating that kind of video. We made all these parody songs. We Redneck Harry Potter, I think.
yeah, like 8 or 9 million.
We did a lot.
And what people don't understand is it's a lot of work. Like, those videos aren't easy. Like, the editing, all that. It's, like, a lot of work.
I feel like we put more time into thinking
about it than
it is. Like, the filming doesn't take that long. It's, like, because most TikToks, they're, like, a minute long. So, but, I mean, it takes forever to think of something that's great. Like
the hardest we ever worked on a TikTok. I mean, I had like a storyboard. We had like a whole shoot day. and it was all on this iPhone because in this video, it did okay, but it didn't blow up. And I don't think people realize how much work it did. We had a green screen. We had special effects.
Oh yeah.
We rewrote that song Rockstar by Nickelback.
Made it Crockstar.
Crockstar.
Yeah, we all just want to be big Crockstars. And it was just like, you know, like romanticizing wearing Crocs and like how cool you will be. And it was epic. You should go watch it because we made like a literal Martin Scorsese film and it just did not get the love it deserved.
Yeah, Spielberg would
That's
be proud.
That's the sad part. It's like the ones that you probably put the most time in are the ones that don't blow up and the ones that you just thought of on the fly is like.
And that's how it started. The beer song. Like took 2 seconds.
The
like
beer song. I remember
any
that.
Effort.
Yeah, I remember
what started it all.
Well, we're super notorious around town. You know, when we go into rights, like I feel like we're super goofy dudes and we like to joke around. But yeah, we're always in rights, like taking breaks, and we'll just start thinking of like funny stuff to say in the song, like because it's like for some reason it's so much easier to write like funny lyrics than it is to write serious ones. So we're always doing that anyway, and that's kind of just like how that happened when we started rolling with these. We're like, well, we do this anyway. We might as well just like share this with our like fan base.
So and they loved it, obviously. They loved it. I agree. You guys are a lot of fun to hang out with and everything. And so when it comes to like Restless Road as a band, like what kind of like music are you guys looking to make? Like what's your musical influence when it comes to you guys as a band?
Good question. I feel like that's what's really cool about being in a band is that we all have extremely different backgrounds and we all grew up in different places and have a lot of different influences, and that obviously plays a big role when you're going to write music and even when you're picking songs, when we get songs pitched to us and stuff like that, all those things play a big role. But I don't know. We talked a lot about this over the quarantine and just like who we are as a group, and just honestly, I feel like we sat down and it was really nice to have this time to really think about and be creative again, because when you're on the road and when you're so busy, there's not a whole lot of time for that. But we sat down and we talked a lot about this, and we feel like the new music that we have coming out is Restless Road. It is 100% who we want to be. The style, the harmonies, everything is there, exactly how we want to be presented moving forward. And it's taken a long time, but I feel like you'll hear a lot of throwback in us.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, even throwback to like Eagles, like those kind of things, like, cause those are the kind of early on bands that really we loved, but then you'll also hear a lot of modern stuff too coming from us. So it's just finding a way to take what Zach loves, what Garrett loves, and what I love, and just trying to mix all those things together. And I don't know. I really couldn't say we particularly have certain people like that make us up. We do, but because there's so many of them, it's just trying to find what is that happy medium for all of us that you can see all that.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I think that we put extra emphasis on is just our harmonies, and then also the fact that we have three guys who can sing, so we all sing on our songs, and we'll each have a moment, and that's something that I think is really unique and different, and that's really kind of been one of the driving forces behind being in this band and sticking with it as long as we have, because we just always felt like there was something really different about that, and just also, like Colton said, we do have these different backgrounds, so when we come to write songs too, we just have, you know, we have a lot of different things to draw from, and when we're writing, we want our songs to be relatable and authentic to us, but at the same time, I think, and this is like why we love The Bachelor too, because it's like that escapism, and I think too, that's something that we enjoy. Like when we want someone to listen to our music or watch our TikToks or come to our show, like it's about that person escaping, having fun, going through all the emotions, happy, sad, laughter, you know, whatever, and we just want to be a part of that for people, and that's really what we're excited about, you know. When we can get back to doing shows, is just kind of going on that journey with people. And you can kind of see through the phone screen these days that people, you know, on TikTok, they're listening to our song, and you kind of feel like we're a part of their life or in some way.
Absolutely.
And that's what's so cool to see. And we've been doing that through a screen now for a while, but it's going to be really cool when we get that chance to do it again in person.
Being on the road, it's hard to write. It's hard to get creative when you're on the road. You're working constantly. You're tired. You're exhausted. So it's going to be really cool to see some of the new music coming out from quarantine, you know, and everything. And when you talked a little bit about your writing process. What is that like for you guys? You guys literally sit down in a room and you just, or do you have like people helping? Like, how does that work for you guys?
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, inspiration can come from everywhere, and especially like your setup with a write. I mean, sometimes, you know, it'll just be us three with an acoustic guitar. Mm. Sometimes it could be like a producer, someone who makes tracks. It could be us, a producer, and another co-writer. It just really depends.
And we got that circle of people around town now that we've met, that we feel like we always get good stuff with them, and they understand us and what we do and know how to push us. And I think, you know, a lot of the times we'll try to stockpile ideas, you know, like, and Garrett and I live together, and Colton's, you know, just down the road. So it's like, if we have an idea or anything, we can always just get it started. And then we kind of think about, hey, who would this be great to write with? And we think about all the people we work with and to find a way to get it done. And
I feel like to play off of that, in betwixt everything that's like going on, like as an artist, you have to find those people that make the most sense for you, because your time is super valuable, and you, when you go to sit down, like you want to be able to write the best songs and write them every time. And even though that doesn't happen every time, if you find those people, it makes it a lot easier to, I mean, because in particular, we have a couple of people that we just, the new song that we have coming out, there's been one guy on that's been a part of several songs that are great for us. And it's just, it's finding those people that you work really well with, because those are ultimately what make your career. I mean, if you look at, just pull up anybody who's had a super successful career, and I would say there's probably a handful of guys that have been on almost every song for them. So
yeah, I think it's like who you vibe with, right? It's like who pushes you, which I like you said that, because you're out of your comfort zone a little bit, you're more creative and everything, but yeah, just who you vibe with, right?
And I'll tell you this too, like a big part of songwriting is, someone told me this, I'm gonna name drop, but this has really affected me as far as writing songs go. So when Colton and I were on X Factor, this was 2013, we got a chance to go hang out with Ed Sheeran. And this was, it was like the same night that he got like nominated for like all these Grammys, and we were just sitting around a campfire, and we asked Ed about all these, how he writes all his songs. And he told me something, and I've always remembered it, and it's how I always go about trying to think of new ideas. He said, you have to think of your songwriting brain as like a fixer-upper house. And when you first start and you walk into the kitchen and you turn on the faucet, it's going to come out dark and muddy, and you know it's a fixer-upper. So you got to leave that water running. You got to do the repairs, and just over time, that water will come out clear. And so I always think about that when I'm writing songs. I'm like, I got to turn my faucet on. And like, you just got to leave your mind like open. Yeah. And you got to let all the ideas just come.
That's
and that's
cool,
like,
way to look at it.
Like, it could be TV. I mean, we've gotten ideas off of watching The Bachelor. People will say something like, that's a song. Or just in conversation with people, like the song that we're, that we just put out, that Took One Look at Her Mama. Like, that's a song that started from a conversation with Garrett's dad that we were all having one day. And it just, you know, it sparked this whole idea. So you just got to leave your faucet running.
That's awesome that you kind of like chill at Ed Sheeran, like peak Ed Sheeran, you know, like it's one of the best songwriters of all time. Like,
oh yeah,
for sure. So I do want to get into some of your new music and everything. And I want to also talk about, each of you obviously had your own big breaks, but like you guys as a band, like what your big break was. So we're going to do that next. So guys, walk me through what it was like when Kane basically, I mean, Kane was the one who reached out to you guys. You're signed to his label and everything. What was that like? Like, what was that feeling where you're like, yes, finally, like this is going to be explode kind of feeling?
Colton was actually the one that got reached out to first. I guess he would be able to tell it the best.
Yeah. So Kane reached out to me in May of 2019. At the time, we were working restaurant and bar, and I was in construction, and we were just trying to really just make ends meet and doing anything we could. But I mean, music was still the dream, and it was still what we wanted to do. And I'd posted a cover of Good As You, and Kane happened to see it, and he sent me a text and told me, hey, I am wanting to start this joint venture with Sony and wanting to sign an artist and have them come out on the road with us. And so I came in and we met, and I said, the band, I want to get the band back together. I want to do this thing as a band. And even it's funny, I feel like even though this was such a big opportunity for us in music, you're always such a skeptic, like because there's so many moments that are, when you think back on them, is like, oh, this, I remember in this moment I got this opportunity. And sometimes those opportunities would turn into something amazing, and then sometimes they just fall through. And that's just the music business. That's just industry, period. Anything in entertainment, it can happen like that. And so, I mean, even when we got this, it was like this excitement. But I think one thing, and I'm going to brag on Joey and Martha, we've had a lot of management in the past and those kind of things. But one thing that they were awesome about was just having like this vision and being able to lay everything out in front of us of, this is what we're going to do on this day, and this is what we're going to have done by this. And they were always exceeding those and going above and beyond. So it didn't take long for us to realize, like, oh shit, like this is like an actual thing. Like, this is really happening. And I mean, it just went so fast for us. I mean, we were talking, that was in May. By November, we were in the studio cutting with Dan Huff, our first EP. In January, we played our first show together, which was sold out Staples Center. So in like 6 months, we went from working. Actually, Zach, a couple weeks before the Staples Center show, he was still working his job at the bar and quit that. And then two weeks later, we're playing out in front of a sold out Staples Center. But so it's one of those things that I feel like you don't honestly realize, and I know Kane's told us this, it's like when you're in the moment and you're living it, you don't realize how fast something can change, and then you almost look back on it and you're just like, wow, did I just do that? And I think that we still have a long road ahead of us, but we're so excited. This has been a great year for us. Even with the pandemic and everything, we've been able to really buckle down on social media and grow our fan base. There was not a whole lot of people who had any idea who we were. And then now we turn around and we're over 700,000 followers on TikTok and have doubled our Instagram following. And it's just been like, that's been great, because had we been on the road, I don't know if we would have had that much time to put into those kind of things. So when things get back up and rolling, we're going to be in such a better spot than what we were even last year. And that's crazy for me to think, because last year we were on cloud nine, like right. when all this was going. So mm-hmm. I think we're just really excited.
Yeah, I remember Colton called me. There was like, you know, we had kind of been in touch, but I was like working at this like burger place, and he called me in the middle of the day, and he's like, man, he's like, I'm in contact with Kane, and he's told me about this opportunity. And I remember, like he said, we were all working these like just, you know, pretty normal jobs. And I remember he called me, he's like, Kane and his management wants to meet with us, like his Restless Road. And I remember thinking, I was like, oh my God, I hope that goes really good, because that would be so good. I was like calling Colton, I was like, please call me. Just call me back today. Please tell me this is real. I just really hope this is a real thing.
Tell me this is real.
Yeah, I was like, you're kidding. Like, no, there's no way. Like, but yeah, I mean, we met and it all, you know, here we are, but yeah, that was insane.
Dude, I totally get that when you guys are talking about how like it sort of happened fast, but also like you said, 10 years, you guys have been together. I mean, you guys have been playing music for God knows how long, and then that one big break and it takes forever. So most artists that we've interviewed is kind of the same way. It like just takes Kane seeing your song, you know, Kane seeing your cover, and that's all it takes. And all of a sudden exponentially you grow faster. So,
right.
And I also think it's great that you touched on the fact that you guys have been able to grow your audience through quarantine over, you know, social media and everything. Cause I think a lot of people aren't doing that. Like, I think a lot of people don't understand that aspect of social media now, you know, a lot, especially in country music. And I think you guys have really like embraced that. And I think it's, like you said, I think you guys are gonna be bigger than you were before, especially now that you're on the pod, you know, this pod's gonna, you guys are gonna blow up.
Right. Absolutely. Dude, honestly, out of all the cool stuff we've gotten to do over
Bachelor
the
Nation,
year,
what up?
This is the best. Like, honestly, this is a dream.
Yeah, no, this,
well, at some point you guys are gonna have to be performing on the show.
Oh
for
man, we will, yes. We will do it. That's another huge, like, you know, checklist item that we want to do.
It is on the whiteboard the vision board.
Yeah, you guys are definitely target audience for sure. So I'm sure they will honestly reach out to you at some point for sure.
I would love to see the behind the scenes. Like, I would actually love to see like what the set is like and like meet everybody.
I swear, like Chris Harrison these days, it's just funny because now when he walks in that room to like give his signature lines, before he even says anything, you just look at his face and he is saying so much before he says anything.
Knows what's up.
It's just like, you know, his like
the classic line, you know, the thing we always laugh out now, because it's like clockwork every time. He's like, ladies, if you do not receive a rose, please take a moment and say your goodbyes.
Say goodbye.
And like, we wait for it every episode. Like, we sit there and I look at Zach and he walks in and he's just like got that look on his face and I know it. And we're like,
my favorite's when it goes to commercial break and it's like, coming up.
Yeah.
Next week on The Bachelor.
Well, that was pretty good, actually. Yeah. I kind of nailed that. I think we had, was it Scotty McCreery we had on, and he performed and he was talking about how him and Chris, he pulled out just a handle of whiskey and him and Chris were just throwing back whiskey.
Oh, my God.
It's really hard to hear about someone else living your dream.
Right.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember like when we first got together, like with Martha and all of them, they were just asking us like, what are some like aspirations and dreams y'all have? And I think that they were expecting like all these crazy things.
These were day one conversations.
Yeah, we want to win a Grammy. We want to do all this stuff.
It was like, we want to be on The Bachelor.
They were like, we want to play as the musical guest on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. And they were like, that's what you want to do? And we're like, yes. Like, yep. Dead serious. That is one of the biggest like accomplishments we can think of.
That is so great, man.
And actually, right before we did that Staples Center show with Kane, the last person to talk to me before I got on the stage was Colton Underwood.
Yeah.
And he was there, and I was like, bro, I'm so...
Yeah, that's right.
So funny story about this. Yeah. Another thing, Blake will have to send you a picture in the group text. Yeah. We were supposed to be at that show.
Yeah,
but Blake got sucker punched by a nice gentleman in New York.
You got sucker punched,
dude. I got
broke his
out.
Orbital bone.
Yeah, broke my orbital bone. So we didn't make the concert.
Oh my god,
that's pretty hard though. That's pretty hard. Man. That's sick.
Yeah, I was pretty fucked up. I'm like, I'll show you guys a picture.
Oh my god,
our group chat is gonna be lit.
Right?
Our group chat is gonna be lit.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, so we need a group chat. Well, it's too bad you didn't know us. Like, you could have called us for backup. Like, we would have been jetting down there.
Wait,
like,
hold up. Did you? So you didn't know this guy? Like you just ran.
No. I was in New York for New Year's, man. It was New Year's, and it was like 4 a.m. I was walking out of a club. I was with friends, and this guy, he punched like four people in a row. He punched this guy on a skateboard, and I looked at him, and then he just socked me in the face. And then he punched a girl behind me, and then everybody jumped on him. Yeah, it was crazy, and I was like, it was just bizarre. Was
like, you were just like a victim of circumstance. Like you were just minding your own business, and the guy you just get a knuckle sandwich right to the orbit.
Dude, I had two fucking tacos in my hand, but I didn't drop a taco.
The question is, did you drop them?
Yeah. Please tell me they survived.
No, I still had them.
Because if nothing else,
I was eating a bloody taco, man. I was eating. Oh, Jesus.
Talk about bad timing,
dude.
Yeah, dude, it was brutal. It was, but yeah, that's why we weren't at that show. But yeah, that would have been fun. That's funny. You guys saw Colton though. I forgot he was at that.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Dude, that guy sounds like the hash slinging slasher from like SpongeBob or something. Like, next thing you mystical creature, you're like, he's out here punching people in the face. He's talking to people with tacos in their hands.
It's going to be that guy and Jake Paul or Logan Paul fighting next. You're going to see him be like, hey, wait, isn't that the guy that sucker punched me? Yeah.
Jake Paul fucking sucker punched me.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah. Do you have any aspirations to be a boxer, like with all this boxing stuff
I'm
going on now? Would that be something you'd ever try?
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Like, to get some Bachelor Nation people like fighting each other, squashing beef, like that's kind of hard. That's
Blake versus Nick Vial. Let's go.
There are like charity boxing matches actually out there for Bachelor people. Yeah, like Chad did one time.
Oh my god.
Yeah, makes sense.
Listen, if you ever do it, we'll be the guys that walk behind you that just look really cool.
We'll have robes. Like, we'll start singing. We're like, Blake's gonna kill this. Like, we're just like instead of being like a cool rapper, like some like really hard thing, we're like, Blake is the man, he's gonna win ya. Like, we'll just write a jingle or something.
I'm in. I'll let you guys know. We'll set that up for sure. But I do want to talk about your guys' song, your new song, and kind of what you guys coming up. So your new song, Took One Look at Her Mama. What is the song about and everything?
Well, it's actually a funny story. So my dad is like one of my best friends, and he always has like the great, you know, dad wisdom that, you know, they all have. But it was a couple years ago. We had just played CMA Fest, and we were all at our old apartment in the pool, and I had this friend. And he was dating this girl, and we were all sitting around, and he was like, you know, I really like this girl, and I think I want to like get married to her and stuff. And he knew my dad pretty good, and he said, Mr. Scott, like, how do I know like she's gonna be the one forever? And my dad looked at him, and he was like, well, he's like, I'll tell you this. He said, if you want some sort of window into what life would be like with a girl, he said, all you got to do is take one look at her mama. And we were like, whoa, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, that will tell you pretty much everything you need to know about what that girl would
literally
be like.
On the spot, we went, I took one look at her mama. And that was it. And we just like held on to that one line for honestly like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And then like earlier this summer during, you know, the pandemic, we were like, we went to go write a song. We didn't have any ideas, and it just like crossed our mind. We're like, dude, do you remember that thing like with your dad? And like, I took one look at her mama, and we're like, dude, let's write that. And we did. And next thing you know, we were in the studio and cut it, and we were just in love with the sound of it. And it just made us feel so good. And it's just so fun and different. And
yeah,
so
it's a fun song.
We're so excited that we got to put that out.
Everybody go check out Took One Look at Her Mama. I was going to sing it there, but I fucking I'd ruin it. I'm not going to do it. But like, what else you guys got in the works, you know, as far as music and just, you know, tour? Have you guys heard anything about like possibly getting back out there?
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel here? Yeah.
You know, Scuttlebutt has it that maybe we will get out soon, but I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things with the pandemic. It's just hard to tell. I mean, you know, you guys
I mean,
know
fingers crossed, you know, I'd say the second half of this year. But, you know, we kind of are still in that waiting game, but we are, you know, we stay ready, so we never have to get ready.
There
you know
go.
What I'm saying?
There you
know
go.
What I'm saying?
I like that.
And so, yeah, we've had literally hundreds of songs. Yeah. We just put out, Took One Look at Her Mama. We're pumped to roll with that one. We're definitely going to be, you know, having more music come out this year. Just, I don't know. Yeah. Just capitalizing on any and every opportunity that we can. Yeah. That's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what you guys got out there because you guys are good dudes and everything. And you guys are all in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
You guys are all in Nashville.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to come out to Nashville at some point, whether it be March, April, and we're going to definitely grab some drinks and stuff.
Let's go.
Yes. We'd love that.
And write that song.
Yeah, we're gonna get that summer banger for sure. No, but I'm excited to see what you guys out. So where can people like find you? I want to get into Bachelor Talk too, but before we do that,
yeah,
where can everybody find you and everything, and where can they listen to your new music, all that fun stuff?
Across all social media platforms. I mean, just Restless Road. You can search Restless Road, and same thing, Amazon, Pandora, Spotify,
Apple,
like all of it, everything. We're
YouTube. Restless Road. We got a YouTube channel. We got vlogs. Yeah. We got it all. Yeah. We got vlogs. We got TikToks. Yeah,
if you want to deep dive into the lives of us, definitely check out those vlogs because they're
you gotta give him like the promo, like the radio guy. You're like, streaming now on all platforms.
Streaming now on all platforms, Restless Road. You can find them on every major platform.
No, but for real, everybody go check them out, guys. They're gonna be the next big thing, man. I can't wait to see what you guys got going. Cause yeah, I'm pumped, man. I feel like now I'm gonna be singing that took you. I'm not gonna sing it again,
you
but
going back to the group chat, you just gotta send us like a voice memo of you just like going for it, and we'll say
the full video, man. I'll have that green screen, the Martin Scorsese thing, and for sure, man. But let's talk a little bit about Bachelor. Obviously, you guys are watching this season, man. What do you guys think of the season so far?
Oh man, this is crazy.
I am not feeling like this is going to end well. I just gut feeling, and I don't know. And I like always, you know, I always question this, but you know, there's editing at work, and we know there's producers at work, and like at this point now, like. Everybody knows that we're all in on it, but what I feel like is like the group that we have of women, it's either they accidentally got a really problematic group, or they're just editing it to look that way. But it seems like maybe one of the most problematic drama groups, like at every turn, it's like there's somebody new. I mean, we thought it was
a new villain.
Like, it was Victoria that was going to be the issue, and now it's looking like no, there's someone else. And then after that, there's going to be someone else, and it's like I'm losing.
What I'm wondering at this point is like, is this actually the most dramatic season in Bachelor's? It's like every year, it's like he says it every time, and I'm like. Every year I think, yep, this tops it. And it, like they up the ante every year. And I'm like, it just is insane how he said that. And they just find ways to make it more and more interesting.
So I remember watching Pete's season. And I was like, damn, these girls are pretty mean to each other. Nasty to each other. And then this season comes. And I was like, damn. Like, they're even meaner.
It's getting dramatic, man.
Yeah, man. It's do you guys have any favorite girls right now for Matt thus far? Or are you like top two or three?
I honestly, I had this weird feeling he's going to pick Rachel.
Yeah, that's who I'm calling. I'm calling that one.
It's who I feel like to me when I think that's probably.
You know why we think that? Because it just seems like, you know, I know this most recent episode, he took her on the shopping date where like you get like $10,000 worth of like clothing and stuff. And you just have to wonder, it's like, are they doing that because that's his favorite? Like, you don't know.
No, that's just savage. That's the producers going, man, we're going to make these other girls shovel shit. We're going to make these other girls shovel shit. And we're going to give this girl the most like pimped out date of her entire life.
Yeah, I wonder, but like how do they
and
pick?
And it's just like two like, opposites.
Are they asking Matt, like, who do you want to bring on the state, or are they just like, they're like, this is the girl we're gonna make do it? Because like, how do they decide between, you know, like 15-20 girls, like who's gonna be the one to like stir up the you know, the drama?
So that's a great question. I can give a little behind the scenes. So I remember talking to Becca about that too, asking like kind of the same thing, and she said basically you're given the three dates ahead of time, you know, the three dates that are going to happen that week, and then you kind of give them who you want. Obviously, to be completely honest, they kind of get the final, like the production kind of gets the final word.
Right.
But I bet, like, I remember Becca saved, there was a date in Bahamas. She saved me for the last day because it was horseback riding. So like, that was something she wanted to do with me. So like, they get a little bit of say, but for the most part, honestly, production kind of is like, nah, sorry, you're taking this girl on this date.
Yeah.
Because she's like, you remember when Anna, or who was it? Was it Annalise? She was like scared of bumper cars or whatever. Yeah. So they're like, yep, she's going on the bumper car date.
How real was that? Do you think in your opinion, was that like a very real thing? Like, I mean, she had a serious phobia of like bumper cars.
I mean, I think it was played up a little bit.
It's not the same thing as X Factor, but even on the X Factor, you kind of understand and realize that these producers, their job is to kind of assess you and your personality and the situation and the circumstances, and like if they see an opportunity to make a story or get a point across, then that's their job to do it. So it's kind of like, that's what's scary about those, just go putting yourself out there and doing it in the first place. Anybody, it takes some bravery for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I mean, you guys, I guess technically you guys have kind of been in reality television before too. So,
I got my own, like I guess I'm going to clear the air on this, cause it's been like what, 8 years now. I
know exactly what you're about to say.
I want to say I got screwed over on the X Factor, but it actually did do wonders for me. So there was an episode, we were like five episodes into the live shows, and I was the only guy out of the three that I didn't get my audition shown on like I didn't get like an 8 minute segment.
Yeah,
so
clip, like
so I was kind
second.
Of like the guy in the group that was more unknown at that point. And so Demi Lovato was like ripping into me every week, and she was like, "You look awkward. You're awkward. Like, you know, you need to loosen up." And so that week the producers were like, "All right, Zach, this week is all about you coming out of your shell." And what they did was is they made me go downtown Los Angeles and basically like what do you call it? Just like panhandle. I was like trying to get girls phone numbers.
They were trying to act like cold approach,
walk up to random women and get their phone numbers. Like go ahead, kid, we're filming you.
They acted like Colton was like the big ladies man. They were like, "You tell him how to do this," and like they made Zach go up to girls and be like, "Can I have your phone number?"
And they filmed it. And I was just getting rejected. I was like, "Hey, do you have a minute to talk? Hey, can we talk?" Yeah. And just getting rejected.
Like a sales pitch.
And I'm 18. I mean, I grew up in Iowa. I had zero game. I had, you know, had no experience with women at this point. I was just so scared. And then I was humiliated thinking, "Oh, everyone's going to see this." And after like an hour of trying, I got this girl's phone number, and then they showed my whole set, package on like the, or not package. They showed my package.
They showed the whole thing in the group chat.
Right?
Yeah. They showed the whole thing of me getting, you know, rejected and stuff. And that night I got like 20,000 followers. Like instantly I became, you know, a standout, that moment forward. Everything changed, but it wasn't
fun.
Little
did he know they were doing it for him.
Yeah.
That's actually a funny story, man. Just out there downtown LA, I get your number, girl. Yeah,
I was like in front of like an abandoned furniture store. Like I was like, this isn't the place to meet women. I don't.
Did you ever follow up with her?
Yeah, I was literally, and they show it. They show me like typing it in, but I remember I was so nervous. Like my thumb like wasn't hitting anything right, and I was just like, "Cool, I got it. Thanks, see ya."
Great. Speaking of, actually, are any of you guys single? Are you guys all wifed up?
Zach is the only single one. I mean, he's married. Okay. I've had a girlfriend for over 2 years, and he is single.
I'm married to the band. I'm married to my career.
I'm married to the band. You know what we've really realized is he's kind of like the single guy of our band.
Yeah. He's the Mick Jagger.
We've all got like our personalities, you know, like really nailed down.
Okay. All right, Zach. Well, there you go, lady. All you ladies, listen. Go give him. You know, you might see him outside of an abandoned furniture shop, and he'll be the one asking for your number. Yeah.
If you give him the number, he won't be able to type it in correctly. But
so make sure you send it in an actual message.
We'll get you on the Bachelorette, man. We'll get you an audition.
There we go.
Awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on. That was a lot of fun. Everybody go check out Restless Road. I got a lot of new music coming out. And
download the new song, Take One Look at Her Mama.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, cool, guys. Well, awesome. We're going to see you guys soon.
Thanks for having us, man. This was awesome.
We're going to grab some drinks and, yeah, hang out for sure.
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah,
and you guys are invited to any one of my shows anytime you want.
Oh,
yeah.
We'll be there, dude. Don't tell us twice, man. We will be there.
I need another opportunity to throw out some roses.
There you go, man. See, and I remember like Eric came up to me during that show and he was like, "Yo, Restless Road is here. Can you like, you know, announce?" And I was like, "Listen, I barely know what I'm doing right now. There's no fucking way I can get on a mic right now and Restless Road is here."
That was lit though. It really was. Thanks, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, that was a good time.
I'm glad Nikki drug all you guys out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Martha, y'all. Yeah. I was surprised to see Martha at the club.
Let me just tell you,
she's a party animal.
Martha gets fun and turns into Marsha.
Yeah, we call her Marsha.
They're two completely different people, but maybe you'll get to meet her sometime.
He was fun that night, though. I remember it was a bit of a blur that night, but yeah, it was fun. So we'll do it again soon, you guys.
Cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Peace out, buddy.
All right, see you guys. Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.
All right, now's the time to tell you.
Oh, yeah, we have something hilarious to tell you, and we're really sorry.
Okay, have you ever seen this guy named Brew on TikTok?
Brew on the radio.
He's a radio host. So he does this thing where he picks these random words and then tries to say them on the radio show. So we picked three words for each of us to try to sneak in. Throughout
no
this.
Way.
I said scuttlebutt, and yeah, I don't know. If
you did. You did. Yeah, I remember you like, face. The fuck
I
was
saw
that?
Face.
You're like, did he just have a stroke?
He said serendipitous. And
mine was betwixt.
Yeah, he goes, betwixt the tour and the radio. And like literally, they're like hitting my leg right before you go, so are you guys getting back on tour? And I'm like, well, scuttlebutt has it that maybe. And I saw you, like, you twitched, and then you yeah, twitched, like, and y'all both were like, what the hell? I was like,
that's
scuttlebutt.
That's fucking amazing. That's fucking amazing.
We're going to make a TikTok and tell all of our fans and be like, on this interview, like, you guys go watch the podcast. We snuck in three words. See if you can figure out which,
like,
one's
moments before this call started, we were Googling, how do you scuttlebutt in a sentence? Yeah.
Can I just say, though, the moment that I said betwixt, like, I could feel my heartbeat in
he
my head.
Purple. He
my head,
purple.
Like, I could feel my heartbeat was beating so hard, I could feel it in my head. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I'd like to just formally apologize for saying scuttlebutt and being like... I you guys maybe thought you wanted to be friends with us before, and then, like, once I said that, you're like, this dude's weird as fuck.
Oh,
like, I'm
shit,
so sorry.
That was so funny. Because I thought when you said betwixt, I just thought maybe you, like, yeah, I had a stroke for a second or something. But the scuttlebutt thing, I was like, maybe I don't know what that means. Maybe that's, like, I don't know the definition.
Of course, they gave me, like, the weirdest one, too.
That's fucking awesome.